Stay standing with me, if you will. Take your Bibles, go back to the book of John. John chapter number 9. This afternoon we'll read verses 1 through 5 responsively. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We'll read verses 1 through 5 responsively. I'll read verse number 1. You'll join me on verse number 2, and we'll read like that through verse number 5. John chapter 9, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me, while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." Let's go ahead and read verse number 5 together. "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you. The amazing opportunity to be called an American. Lord, we could have been born anywhere else, but each and every one of us were privileged by you to be placed in such a great country. Lord, thank you for our freedom. But Lord, just as grateful as we are for our freedom, Lord, as an American, as a person who's been saved, Lord, we thank you as well for freedom from the bondage of sin. Lord, thank you for life, liberty, Lord, in the pursuit of happiness, not just as an American, but Lord, as one who is a saved, obedient child of God. Lord, this afternoon, we'll hear the word of God preached again. It's been a wonderful day. We've enjoyed the food and the fellowship. Lord, any time the word of God is open, it's the most important thing that we can draw our attention to. Please, as it's preached, may our hearts be open, Lord, and our minds be, Lord, thinking on the truth that you've prepared for us. We'll ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. A lot of preachers would be worried about having junior church inside their church auditorium. I'm not. Our boys and girls have been taught in junior church to behave and behave rightly. And boys and girls, don't disappoint me, all right? So you look at me, you watch me, trust me, I'll keep your attention. But I need you to watch me and listen to me very carefully. You adults, don't snore too loud and bother the kids, all right? The disciples come to Jesus as they pass by. They see a man who was blind from his birth. They ask Jesus, "Who sinned that caused this man to be born blind? Did he sin or did his parents sin?" And Jesus stuns his disciples. He said, "Neither." Why is it that we think that because a parent or because a child does something wrong or something's wrong with the child, that it's all the parents' fault? Sure. That's not something new. It's been being asked for centuries and millenniums now. Just because something's wrong with the child doesn't mean it's a parent's fault.
Right.
He said that this man was born blind so that God could be made known better. Jesus then spits on the ground and makes a little bit of mud, puts it on his eyes, and the man can see. Jesus reminds us that we're just all made out of dirt to start with. Can I tell you something? All of us are flesh. All of us are dirt. Doesn't matter if you got white dirt, black dirt, brown dirt, green or purple dirt. Dirt's still dirt. God doesn't look at the outside. We're all made out of dirt.
Amen.
Jesus then says something that just startles my attention. He said, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, because the night cometh when no man can work." Now, I really do believe that we are living in the days just prior to the Lord coming back at the rapture. I really believe that. And I've been through a lot of preaching. I grew up in church. I wasn't a church mouse. I was a church rat. I'm 54 years old. I've been in church for 55 years. You say, preacher, that's not possible. I went to church for 3 months before I was born. For 9 months before I was born. I've been in church my whole life. I believe that we are in the twilight hours. I grew up in the 70s hearing Jack Van Impe sing, he's coming back. Yeah, that was 50 years ago. Trust me. I remember all those scary things and they talked about, but let me say something. I'm not a fatalist. I just happen to know the scriptures, and I know this. We're 50 years closer than we were 50 years ago. That much is for sure. I believe that COVID, and I said this a year and a half ago, was a precursor to Antichrist. I believe that the Antichrist is on the scene. I believe he's testing the waters to see if there's enough salt left in the earth to resist him or not. And when COVID came on the scene and churches caved and crashed and shut their doors, afraid in fear of a virus, the Antichrist said, I got more power than I thought I had. Now, I believe the next pandemic could set off the rapture. Can't prove it, wouldn't argue with you. But I know this, the world is poised for globalism.
That's right.
How many times do you hear the word globalism in a week's news cycle? All of the nations are aligned against Israel. You're going to watch Japan and China join forces against Thailand and against everybody from the Western powers. Everybody doing okay? By the way, God talks about an army from the great army from the east without number. 1.6 billion or over 2 billion people in the Chinese world. They have an army of almost 1 billion people. Can I tell you something? The Lord's return is sooner than later. Let me say that again. The Lord's return is sooner than later. Now, what are we to do? What's supposed to be our attitude? Well, according to Jesus, we must do the works of him that sent us, because the night cometh when no man can work. That means this. We better get busy doing what God wants us to do, because the moment the rapture takes place, we can no longer go soul winning. The moment the rapture takes place, there's no more preaching. Now, I realize there's going to be people saved during the first part of the tribulation, and I understand that. But for the general populace, it's going to be pretty ugly.
Yes.
We must press on and work as hard as we can to do everything we can until the last trump of God shall sound. Now, listen to me very carefully here. I'm not here to scare anybody. I'm not here to alarm anybody, but I do want to make everybody aware Jesus is coming back pretty soon.
That's good.
Say, is he mad? No, he's excited. He's coming back for his children. And he's coming back. And by the way, he won't be mad till he comes back 7 years after that. Then he's going to throw a fit and the battle of Armageddon is going to take place. And with his word, when we're following him on white horses, he's going to speak the word and put the armies down to where the blood rises to the bridle of the horse in the valley of Megiddo in Armageddon.
That's right.
You say, what are you going to do, preacher? I'm going to sit back and say, yee-haw. That's when we rednecks can truly say, watch this, y'all, and mean it. First of all, let me say this. Number one. Jesus will come back at the rapture before Antichrist takes over. We live in a crazy world with religious people who don't know their head from a hole in the ground and don't know the Bible frontwards or backwards. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18 talks about the rapture, and it says that no man knows the hour nor the day when the Son of Man cometh. You say, when does that take place? Turn your Bible to Revelation chapter 4. Well, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let me show the progression here. I was going to try to save a few seconds here, but we got the Bible. Let's open it up and use it. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look at verse number 13. I love using these verses at the graveside of a funeral. Say why? Because there's no such thing as a graveyard to the saved. That's just resurrection ground. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, look at verse number 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Not you that are sleeping right now from too much food. That you sorrow not, as even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Notice verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. Turn to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. I want you to look at verse number 1. In chapters 1 through 3, it talks about God, talks about the seven churches. In verse 1 of chapter 4. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a what? And the trump of God shall sound, talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit. Behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Guess what? That's talking about the rapture. It talks about the trumpet. It says immediately. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. The trump of God shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together and meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. And all those things work together. What happens after verse number 2 in Revelation chapter 4? God begins then to talk about what's going to happen for the next 7 years here on earth during what we call the tribulation.
Yes, sir.
Notice that verse 1 and 2 come before all of that. So the rapture must take place before the rise of Antichrist. Now, if some say he comes back in the middle or at the end of the tribulation, guess what? We could predict, because God told us exactly how many days it would be from the rapture to the middle of the tribulation, and from the middle of the tribulation to the end of the tribulation, and we could calculate the day that Jesus would come back. So he can't come back in the middle, and he can't come back at the end. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 10, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 4 says, he will come as a thief in the night. Did you know you don't know when a thief's coming to your house? If you knew he was coming, you'd be ready and he wouldn't rob you, correct?
Right.
They better be careful coming to my house. They're going to eat the business end of a weapon they don't want to eat, amen? You say, preacher, you wouldn't do that. Yep. Pull the trigger till it's empty, amen? Say, that's violence. No, it's protecting my wife and family.
Amen.
It's doing what we're supposed to do. And we don't need the... By the way, aren't you glad 245 years ago, people disobeyed the call of controlling of arms, and it was armed lay people who overthrew an oppressive government, gave us our freedom. Now, I don't care what you believe. I do know what God says about the rapture. It takes place before the tribulation. I met up with some of these theological yard birds that think they're intelligent and don't have enough sense to blow their nose. Every person must be ready when the rapture takes place. You say, why? Because if you're left behind, you're not going to be saved. Say, how do you know that? There's very few that will be saved during the tribulation. Most of those that will be saved will be the Jewish people. And as we'll find out in our Wednesday night Bible studies, there are two witnesses that come back. There's two men in history that have never died. A man named Enoch and another man named Elijah.
Yes.
Recognize that name? You'll see in the book of Revelation two witnesses that come and they preach, and 144,000 Jews get saved, go all over the world preaching the gospel, trying to get as many people saved and away from the Antichrist as they can for 3.5 years. Those two witnesses will be killed in the streets. The TV crews will be showing their bodies laying dead in the streets for 3 days and 3 nights. But after 3 days and 3 nights, Brother Elijah is going to lean over to Brother Enoch and say, "You ready? Let's give them a show." And while the TV crews are filming these dead bodies, they get up. God has an extra rapture just for those two in front of the entire world. Can I tell you something? It's not going to be fun days. Everybody's worried about the microchipping of today. Is it going to be a microchip? I don't know. I do know this. Do know that God said that the mark would either be in the forehead or in the hand. I can't tell you how it's going to be. You say, "Well, is the COVID vaccine, if I take that, am I taking the mark of the beast?" No. It's up to you whether you take it or not. I'm not, personally. I have several reasons why I would not. But second of all, it's not going to be that. But by the way, Bill Gates is the one that was pushing for the microchipping in this vaccine so we could track who had it and who didn't. How do you explain away millions of people being raptured? Quarantine. And these people died. The stage has been set to explain away the rapture. Everybody doing okay? I would suggest if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you get saved and you go by the Undertaker, not the Undertaker. I'd rather go by Jesus than the Antichrist any day. May I say this? If you're saved and you're not right with God, I'd get right with God because I wouldn't want to be doing wrong when Jesus comes back. Some Christians are going to be a little disappointed when Jesus comes back because they're not going to be able to continue in their sin. You're going to get to heaven a little disappointed. I don't know about you. I don't want to break stride. I have no desire to break stride from the moment the trumpet sounds till I get to heaven. The only thing I'm going to do is catch up with everybody else that's already been up there. So we must understand that Jesus will come back for the rapture before the Antichrist comes on the scene. Number two. Are you ready? Somebody smile. The food's getting a hold of you. Should I make you stand up and do jumping jacks? All right? Some of you, that would be detrimental to everybody else's health. All right? Number two, we are not supposed to live in fear. We should not live in fear. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Bible says this. "Now we beseech you, therefore, or beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as at the day of Christ is at hand." Can I tell you something? We ought not be worried that the Lord's coming back. We ought not be afraid of it. We ought to be excited about it. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and let me turn over there real quickly here. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7. "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind."
Amen.
Let me ask you a question. Everybody look at me. If God isn't the one who gives us a spirit of fear, who is that gives us a spirit of fear? The devil. "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, and of power, and of a sound mind." Look how lunatic, insane our world is today.
That's right.
My wife and I sat right beside my wife's aunt, who is a nurse. You can say what you want. More people died in the last year and a half of the influenza virus than COVID virus. Follow the numbers. Mr. Fauci is not the God of science.
Amen.
I hate to disappoint you. Mr. Fauci is a tool in Satan's hand. It is Satan that gives a spirit of fear, not God. You say, preacher, are you afraid you might get the virus? I had it. My wife had it. All of my kids had it. My dad had it. You did? Yeah, I'm still here. Now, I haven't smelled or tasted anything in 7.5 months, but it doesn't matter. You say, was it really that bad? No. Survival rate is 99.97%. 0.03% has been the death rate since day one in Wuhan. Say, oh, you believe it came out of there, preacher? Yeah. Did you read Dr. Fauci's emails that he covered up? It is Satan that gives a spirit of fear. Let me make a statement here. Governments that lead by fear are led by Satan. Leaders who lead by fear are satanic, not godly. Because God said that he does not give us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Fellas, as we lead our homes, we ought not lead with fear.
Amen.
We ought to lead with love, power, and a sound mind.
That's right.
Our world is wacky.
Oh, yeah.
Good night. They don't even know what bathroom to use. They don't know if they're a boy or a girl or to be determined. Can I tell you something? You can go to the farm and figure it out real fast. You put two bulls in a pen, they know neither's a cow.
Amen.
You say, preacher, that's kind of crude. Okay, that you mean an animal has more sense than a human? Please don't take this the wrong way, but... it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out if you're a man or a woman. I taught my kids to check on a puppy. Boy, girl. Boy, boy, girl. You know, it doesn't take very long. Plumbing determines it, amen?
Amen.
Then why is it the state of Wisconsin is putting forward right now in the state house a proponency to put a gender-neutral birth certificate out that does not put a gender on a birth certificate to be determined later? You all laughed at me a year, year and a half, 2 years ago when I said that. It's coming. Welcome to the devil. Who's the ones afraid? It's the devil's crowd. Good night. Worst thing to happen to me is I get sick and die and I go to heaven. Go hurt me. Folks, let's face it. There is more to life than what you see here. This is just the beginning. This is just the warm-up. This is like the 9 months in the mother's womb before you're born compared to eternity. Can I tell you something? I'm not afraid to die. I don't want to hurt when I do it, but I'm not afraid to do it. I really have no desire to hurt in the process. I told God I don't mind dying, just don't make me hurt real bad. I don't know if I'll get my wish, but yeah, I don't want it to be hurtful on everybody around me. And you better hope I don't lose my mind and start talking. Because there's things wrapped up inside there nobody should know, all right? People who lead by fear are not godly people. They're ungodly, satanically influenced people. We don't need to be excited about, and I mean excited in a fearful way about, well, what about the next virus, preacher? What about the next one? Okay, what about it? I'm kind of waiting for the next one to happen because I'm listening for the trumpet. We need to be challenged to get as many people saved and trained doing right as possible. How about we get excited about telling somebody else about Jesus? Wouldn't you like to be the person who wins the last person to the Lord before the rapture takes place? Wouldn't that be fun? Wouldn't you like to be standing at somebody's door, standing at the grocery store, giving somebody a gospel tract, showing them how to go to heaven? They bow their head, trust Jesus Christ as a Savior, and we're in heaven.
Amen.
Man, that's enough to make a Methodist want to shout. I said that for my secretary's sake. She used to be a Methodist. Can I tell you something? We ought to step up, not run away.
Amen.
We ought not run and hide. We ought to open our mouth like a trumpet.
Amen.
Let's not shut down. Let's stay open more. I'm sick and tired of sissy britches lace on their underwear and preachers that are afraid to get up and, well, we might offend somebody. I would rather offend somebody with the gospel, give them a chance to get saved, than to be non-offensive and let them die and go to hell.
Right.
Say, preacher, aren't you afraid of having a bad attitude? No, they're the ones with the bad attitude letting people die and go to hell. We ought to get off our blessed assurance and tell somebody about Jesus.
Amen.
About 6 months ago, I got a letter from one of these so-called reverends. He said, I noticed you and your church were in my neighborhood, obviously telling folks about Jesus, and these are the people I love most. And I pastor such and such church. And I said, yeah, and they didn't hear the gospel before because you didn't tell them. He was thanking me for telling them because his church doesn't tell anybody. Everybody doing okay? You say, preacher, you got a bad attitude? No, I'm excited about soul winning. I just wish some of these yard birds would get an honest living. Get up, get right with God, and tell somebody. Well, I might offend somebody. Gag. I've been offending people for 41 years. You think that hurts my feelings at all? Say, why are you offending people? Because the truth offends. Brother Juan and I were out soul winning a couple weeks ago. Knocked on door, started talking to a fella. We had a good conversation going. Brother Juan's laughing already. I looked at the fella, I said, sir, we were cordial, friendly. He was friendly back. I mean, I thought, man, this is going to be going good. I said, sir, let me ask you a question. Do you know for sure you're going to heaven? It was like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. This man's face, in a matter of a half a second, changed. His neck turned red. His facial features went like this. He said, it's none of your business, and I don't appreciate you asking me that. It got very ugly with me very quickly. Isn't it amazing how people don't want to face eternity's question?
Yes.
We'll talk about insignificant things and be happy. Ask somebody whether they're going to die and go to hell or die and go to heaven, and, oh, that's offensive. We don't have to be afraid of doing God's work. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Please don't get mad at me if this affects you, but if it does, pay attention. I'm not going to cancel church for a holiday.
Amen.
Say, well, preacher, it's a holiday, so... It's also Sunday.
Amen.
And I like spelling it S-O-N-D-A-Y.
Right.
Sunday, why? Because it's about him, not about us.
Amen.
Jesus started the church, not me. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, unless there's a holiday. Unless people are tired. I'm so sick and tired of liberal, weak, need Christianity. It just bothers me. Show me some place in this Bible where God said we ought to go take a survey, find out what people want in the church, and give them what they want in the church. Well, I hate to tell you, God didn't tell us to build a church based on what people wanted. It's his church. He paid the price for it. He died for it. He gave his blood for it. And he expects us to do it his way, not our way.
Amen.
We ought to sing the music that praises him, not ourselves.
Right.
It ought not make us want to get up and dance. It ought to make us want to shout and praise God.
That's right.
Everybody doing all right?
Yeah.
It ought not be a rock and roll show like the world using the devil's music with God's words. Shoot. I can tell you something. We're not supposed to go around asking people what they want in church. God's kind of like military chow. You hold it out, he'll flop it down.
Amen.
Well, I don't like it. Sometimes you got to eat things you don't like.
Yep.
It's not like the church buffet and you take what you want and start with your dessert like Brother Josh did. I said, no wonder Ruth Ann's in one room and you're in the other. He said, she knows I do it. Wait a minute. First of all, the rapture takes place before the Antichrist sets up, before the Great Tribulation. Number two, we're not to live in fear. We ought to live in excitement. Number three, are you ready? God told us how bad it was going to get before he comes. I hate to disappoint you. It's not going to get any better. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Look at verse number 9. Let's skip back to verse number 8. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 8. And then shall that wicked, notice the word wicked is capitalized. Who's that in reference to?
Satan.
Yeah, the wicked one. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, sound familiar? And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, I didn't say that, God did. But you talk about a delusional world. We live in a delusional world. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, just about half a dozen pages over. 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse number 1. 2 Timothy 3, verse number 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of them own selves. You talk about a selfish world. We live in it today.
Yep.
Covetous, wanting everything everybody has. Boasters. It's called Congress.
Yep.
Proud. Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, watch this one, without natural affection. That's your alphabet soup crowd. Truce breakers, sound like Russia, China, other countries. False accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Wonder how many churches had a form of godliness but denied the power of God. Just today. God said this is what it's going to be like in the last days. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We were just there in chapter 3. Turn over one more chapter. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I closed my Bible too soon. 2 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse number 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. Sounds like modern preaching, doesn't it? 40,000 Southern Baptist Convention churches last year didn't have one person get saved all year. Not one. Shoot. We have more people saved in a week than that around here by accident. Say why? Because we're obeying God. Turn to Matthew chapter 24. Let me show you what God says. Folks, I'm just reading the Bible to you. Matthew chapter 24, look at verse number 3. This is Jesus himself speaking. Matthew chapter 24, verse number 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us when these things shall be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Probably is in reference to the Pope, who says he'll speak ex cathedra in the place of God. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences. Do you know what the word pestilence is? Same word as pandemic. And earthquakes in diverse places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up the afflicted, and shall kill you, and shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. I'm going to stop right there. May I tell you something? Jesus himself told us how bad it's going to get. I've said this before. This preacher, the way I preach, I'm not changing anything.
Amen.
You may have to come to Eastern Regional Jail, and Brother Juan might have to let you in to hear me preach, but he's not a resident. He works there, all right? But he's one of our deacons, not a demon, all right? But Brother Juan might have to let you in to hear the preacher preach from behind the bars of the prison, but can I tell you something? I'm going to stand for right. Doesn't care who it hair lips.
Amen.
Matter of fact, God said in the scriptures that it'll be like the days of Noah and like the days of Lot when the coming of the Son of Man shall be. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. I'll finish. And you'll be glad. Ephesians chapter 6. Say, what's it going to be like, preacher? Let me show you something here. Look at verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Look at me for just a second. Keep your finger there. You hear churches and preachers preach and teach for eternity about the armor of God. Everybody knows what it is, what it looks like. It's all polished up. Got a suit of armor in the vestibule of the church. And ain't a one of them ready for battle. Armor's for fighting, not for looking at.
Amen.
It's not a museum piece. It's battle equipment.
Amen.
God said, you better be ready with it, not to look at it and be able to tell everybody what it is. You ought to have practiced in it because the battle's coming and you're going to need it.
Amen.
Look at verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but watch this, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It's talking about the virtual world. It's talking about the political world, the underlying political world. While I was away, I had a man ask me a question I'd never been asked before, which is unusual. He said, if you could have sat down and asked President Trump one question, what would it be? Well, I have a friend who's already asked him the question if he knows for sure he's going to heaven. And President Trump got saved during the campaign with a vice president who led him to Christ. I said, that foregoes that question. But that would have been my first question until I knew that. I said, my question to him would be, you've met with world leaders. You've met with the highest of world powers, and I would say, Mr. President, which one of them do you think is the Antichrist? Because I personally believe President Trump has probably looked into the face and has dealt with the Antichrist himself. That's a scary thought. I know it wouldn't be Nancy Pelosi. Chucky Schumer's too stupid. And we know it's not AOC because she doesn't even know what she is. And I could go on and on and on and on. There's an underlying world that you don't know about. It's a spiritual world that is dark and evil that has controlling powers all over. There are men like Bill Gates. You know who the biggest farm land owner in the United States of America is? Bill Gates. He will control your food costs. Bill Gates said he wanted to reduce world population by 20%. He'll do it by vaccination. One of the biggest drawbacks to the COVID vaccine is it's causing young people to be sterile. The lady sitting in this room right now, one of her family members went to get it and said, I'm trying to get pregnant. And the doctor said, don't get it because you'll probably not get pregnant if you do. The very component in it that keeps, quote unquote, the virus from attaching also causes infertility because the egg and things cannot attach to the uterus. Do your science. Now, wait a minute. That's Mr. Gates. He and his wife oversaw a program of world power people to try to overcome the world with vaccination. Talking about the implementation of microchips in the hand or the head, but he said this is not the mark of the beast. Those are his very own words. This is just so we can track who has and has not been vaccinated. Mr. Bezos. George Soros. I could go through a lot of other names. These are people that are controlling the world and you don't even know it. So they're very popular. Yeah, they're very popular because their money is buying the evil that they're propagating. Money is not evil. The love of money is. Now, God said we better get our whole armor on because we're going to wrestle. First of all, let's get ready for the Lord's return. Let's look forward to the Lord's return. If you're not saved, trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you've been saved, how about you obey Him? Maybe if you've been saved and you've been baptized, you'd like to join a church. I think everybody ought to be a member of a church. I really do. You say, why? Because He's coming back. We ought to be a part of something that's worth being part of. If nothing else, are you living right? Are you ready for Him to come back? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Please be still for a moment. Boys and girls, you did very good. But every head bowed, every eye closed. Who would say, preacher, if I die today, I am 100% sure I'd go to heaven when I die. I know that for sure. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. I would never embarrass you. But who'd say, preacher, if I died, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know it someday. Would you raise your hand? Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, many, many, many hands. You may put them down. Mm-hmm.